It's 12:06 and time for Art-Centric Midday Matters here on WBOY 89.1 FM. We'd love to hear from you today during our conversation, so feel free to give us a call at 1-800-471-9264, email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm, or post right on our Midday Matters Facebook page. I'm Sarah D'Elia, and in the studio with me is my co-host, Julia Meek.
Thank you, Sarah. Now, the Fortland really is still abloom with springtime, and in fact, we have a very special celebration on the horizon, and that's the 7th annual Japanese Cherry Blossom Festival to prove it. And we're going to celebrate all things art-centrically connected to this very special event during today's show with a stroll through the ancient and modern customs to be enjoyed with festival planners, participants, and performers. And that would be educator and cultural ambassador Dorothy Kataka, artist Terry O'Brien, and master musicians Yoko Reikano Kimura and Hikaru Tamaki. We encourage you to join in the conversation too, so be ready to give us a call at 800-471-9264 or post them on our Midday Matters Facebook page. But first, as Sarah and I love to do, we each have a quick pick art tip for you to consider this breathtakingly arts-filled weekend that you may want to sample. What's your pick, Sarah?
My pick is an event that's going on tomorrow from 9 to 1 at this Fort Wayne's Farmer Market Spring Fling, which is located at Parkview Field, which is 1301 Ewing Street. The Jughuffers are going to be playing tomorrow, and that's from they'll be playing from about 9:30 to 12:30, and they're also going to be playing later that night at the Friendly Fox from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m.
That's, we know, is a huffing good time, mm-hmm. as always. And I'm suggesting a fiber arts celebration, actually, and it has already started. It's today and tomorrow, 10 to 5 each day. And that is at Solomon Farms, and it's a hands-on participation and demonstration of making all natural fiber products, like and wool dyeing and spinning and weaving and everything else. And they sell the equipment and supplies to make things there as well. And they also have lots of handmade fiber products for sale. So it's a totally fun time for people of all ages. The event's free and family friendly. And actually, it's a perfect excuse to spend the whole day at Solomon Farm. And that is at 817 West DuPont Road. Can't go wrong
nope.
with something like that, I'm thinking. And now, speaking of celebration, it's Asian Arts and Seasonal Splendor we celebrate. It's our pleasure to introduce educator, musician, and cultural ambassador Dorothy Kataka, joined in this first segment by local artist Terry O'Brien. Welcome to Midday Matters.
Thank you so much.
What yes. a glorious weekend for a Cherry Blossom Festival.
We're hoping sunshine and all kinds of beautiful flowers.
Good spirit. Well, Dorothy, would you kindly begin with a brief description of the meaning and importance of the ancient celebration that the Cherry Blossom Festival actually is?
The Cherry Blossom Festival is a celebration of spring. When the flowers bloom, the whole country sort of just stops and say, okay, this is a holiday. We are going to celebrate nature, and they quit work and they have vacations, and they celebrate all this joyous time together.
They go out and actually watch cherry blossom. You know, just go out to the fields and mm-hmm. observe the cherry blossoms and have a picnic.
I can certainly understand that, and have right. been known to actually do that with cherry blossoms as well as other things. And so right. we are happy to have something like that here in the Fort Wayne area. And then the next question, I think, would be, how did it come about to have a cherry blossom right here in Fort Wayne?
Well, we did get some wonderful trees from Takaoka, our sister city, and we're having our 40th anniversary, or actually our 30th anniversary in 2006, and we thought that the beautiful garden that they gave us was have to be repaired because it was getting to be looking like it needed some help. And so the Parks Department did do that for us in time for the first Cherry Blossom Festival, and we had delegations coming in. And we thought that this would be a wonderful time to celebrate our sister city connection with Takaoka, Japan. And that's how we started, along with the Japanese American Association of Indiana. The two groups got together, the forming of sister cities, and we were able to put the first Cherry Blossom Festival on.
And speaking of our lovely sister cities, and we're happy to have that family tree, and that does. Takaoka was our first sister city.
Absolutely, 35 years ago.
And then we added Poat and...
Poland, 21 years, we're going on 21. And then Gera, Germany, 20 years. And the very, very newest is Taizhou, China, last year in May.
Our brand new sister. And yes, we welcome all of those connections, I say, to our family tree. And in the meantime, we have a cherry blossom celebration that seems a natural inclusion, especially with our lovely sister cities. Mm-hmm. But just how difficult was it to enact such a plan once somebody had the wonderful plan of having a celebration?
It was one of these magical moments when you get a bunch of people together who had the passion of this particular celebration. And Michelle Yamanaka was such a good leader. She really pulled us together. And so I said, this is one of the most fun committees to be on because everybody works and you give them a job and it's done, you know?
And sometimes, and all the jobs are fun, it sounds like.
Absolutely, because we do have so many things going on, especially in the arts. We've got Hikaru Tamaki and, of course, Yoko Rikano Takamura with the koto and cello duet, and they are spectacular. And you're going to hear about them later on, but they are sort of the core of what... authentic music that's there. We also have a guitar quartet led by Dan Quinn, Dr. Dan Quinn, and he has a doctorate in Japanese guitar music from IU and is married to a Japanese lady who, again, they go back and forth to Japan quite a bit. And so he's quite an expert in Japanese music. Janice Furtner and I have been singing together as the dueling divas. We won't be dueling so much as singing beautiful Japanese music together. We did our own arrangements. And so we hope you can come. And these are all being held in the theater downstairs.
And at the Allen County Public Library.
That's right. We have to tell you where it's from. The Allen County Public Library from 12 to 5.
And we should also mention that it's entirely free to the public.
Yes, it is.
And also something that if there is truth in advertising, and as we have been reading about this fantastic 7th annual Fort Wayne Cherry Blossom Festival, you promise to tantalize perhaps all of the senses.
Oh, yes, and definitely.
And that includes, well, that's a good time to ask Terry O'Brien. You're an artist yourself. Tell us just what you are going to be sharing in the art-centric side of things, festival.
Well, first of all, the Cherry Blossom Festival sponsors, well, in association with the Allen County Public Library Young Adults, an anime art drawing contest. Now, this is open to all ages. There are several categories. And there are prizes. And what you do basically is you come, you spend 3 hours in a room drawing. And you sit there with your friends, people that will soon be your friends, and talk and sketch and draw and share stories and share resources. And definitely just have a lot of fun. And at the end of it, a committee of the committee itself goes through everything. We award first, second, and third prizes. And also the grand prize is a membership to the local anime convention, which will be held in July. So that is, you know, very much the focus for art for people to get involved with.
And this is obviously not one of the ancient arts that's celebrated at any time of year in the Japanese festival. But how has it been
very well received, and some very, very, I would say, even professional artwork from people who weren't exactly what you would call professionals. And it's
probably one of the most favorite. I mean, we have almost 400 people there, don't we?
In the past. We fill two or three rooms.
Mm-hmm. And what a wonderful celebration that would be.
It is so full of energy, too.
I would like to remind our listeners that this is a specially energized and celebratory edition of Midday Matters that we're having today as we discuss all things Cherry Blossom Festival related with right now two of the festival officials and headliners, I'm going to say, Dorothy Kataka and Terry O'Brien. And okay, we've just discussed the anime. Mm-hmm. And that is a modern art. But what are some of the ancient or the older fashion graphic arts that are going to be also included?
We're
going to
have Origami by Mike Schmidt and Janice Furtner. Janice Furtner is also going to be displaying her paper cuttings, which are very Japanese. And so look for that in the Great Hall. We also have something very special because this is brand new this year. Mr. Tamura just came back from Japan. He's on our committee. And he went to a village of Hida Takayama. And there they have an expert tradition of sashiko, which is a style of embroidery. And so people that are there can actually come and do some embroidery with some kits, but you can also buy goods from there as well. Mm-hmm. There's a little charge for that little kit if you're, and there's only 10 people at a time. So if you would like to do that, go early and sign up.
What a wonderful chance to get to experience something like that right here in Fort Wayne.
Right, and then talking about the anime, mm-hmm. he also has gone to the city of Akihabara.
That's actually a Tokyo district. It's well known for being the hub of all Japanese anime, manga, and associated activity in the entire country.
Mm-hmm. So he has brought back some goodies from there. So
looking
if you would like it,
be
there early because the supply is limited, he tells me. And then we have, he will be displaying the bronze artwork from Takaoka and the very other things. We also have martial arts, kendo, and we also have our own Fort Wayne taiko. Mm-hmm. And it is just amazing to me that they have organized, Allison Bellet has organized this group, and they're just getting better and better all the time. We have the Minyo Club of Indianapolis, who are going to be dancing, and for the first time, the Suzuki Strings here, right here in Fort Wayne.
They're starting off the celebration, I think.
They are.
What a great way to start the seventh annual Japanese Cherry Blossom Festival right here in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And speaking of some of the new graphic arts that will be being shared, and of course we have the Eastern arts expert Terry O'Brien right here with us. Cosplay is another fantastic, relatively new twist on an old art.
Actually, it's not quite so new as I would say. The term actually comes has been around for about 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
A Japanese guest at a very major convention was seeing everybody walking around in costumes, and he created the term cosupreyu, which, when we anglicize it, it is cosplay, which is short for costume play. And it's been incredibly adopted by anime and manga fans, especially younger fans, who enjoy creating the most perfect replicas of individual characters that they can possibly do, and showing them off and being with others who like this. And they will go to such lengths as changing costumes every day at a convention or several times during a day. And I have seen things that, you know, I've seen costumes that look like they could have come right off a television set. And these are by teenagers, you know, 20 years old, people 20, 25.
Thoroughly into it.
Oh, yes. And not just into the costume, but into the character. They will act as the character or, you know, goof off as the character.
Something for everybody to share, too. Another great part of the celebration, visual part of the celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And continuing on the more traditional arts.
Right. We have haiku, which is very, very old, of course. But then there are people that have, the children have been in schools composing the haiku and sending them in, but they also will be writing and also reading them And there's a cost. I think there is a contest for that too.
I believe so.
And so there's a big ending. There's a big finale with all these big announcements for the winners of three different competitions.
Another question that comes to mind: how do you go about picking what arts to include, and then gathering them for inclusion?
We have a committee, and everybody gives suggestions, and it's really pretty democratic, mm-hmm. isn't it?
It is that, mm-hmm. but it also draws heavily on what is available locally. Mm-hmm. One that Dorothy hadn't mentioned yet is the local Bonsai Club, who will also be there displaying their artistic creations, because you have to admit, they are making art out of a natural product.
It's a fantastic art form and another ancient one. Why don't you give us a real quick description, Terry, of bonsai?
Bonsai is the art of taking a natural plant, usually a miniature tree or shrub, and creating a visual image using that, using that resource. And it is, as you said, it is a very old tradition with a lot of different styles and schools involved.
And making them very miniature. And it's a very, I tried once.
It's a very intensive thing because it's also a very slow process. Mm-hmm. It will take years sometimes for a properly designed and executed bonsai to be fully developed.
And you can get very good advice because the experts are there. So you can even bring your own bonsai to have the doctor look at it. Okay.
What a wonderful inclusion.
It's great. We also have Japanese cuisine, and that is really, really popular. And so we have, I think our Tokyo Seoul is back
Tokyo
again.
Tokyo Seoul, yes. That's been one of our long sponsors.
One of our very long. And the Wu Oriental Grocery and Market. They have wonderful things too for people to try. And also, I believe the Southwest Sushi is mm-hmm. there as well. So we have three sources of delicious food. So mm-hmm. don't miss out on that. Mm-hmm. We also have a Boys' Day display. Boys' Day used to be celebrated May 5th, and now they make the Boys' Day Children's Day. So there is a beautiful display in the theater lobby of that. And my son, my oldest son, was born right near there, and so on May 4th. So we also had a Boys' Day display. Pretty spectacular. Girls' Day also has another spectacular one. We are very, very pleased that we have a place that children can do arts, and they can go goldfishing, a yo-yo contest, I believe, or how to do that. And so we also have them making cherry blossoms out of origami, and they put them on the tree. So the tree is now blossoming all through the day with the different blossoms that are attached to it. We also have something brand new. These are flying fish, and they will be inside the whole gallery of the Allen County Public Library with remote control. We also have a beautiful display of a kite that was drawn by a very good friend of ours, Mr. Tanaka, I believe his name. This is Hikaru's grandfather. And Kaneko is his name, sorry. He passed away last year, and he came to the festival every year with toys. And he then gave to me this beautiful kite, so watch for that. We also have carp that's going to be floating, yes, down from the rafters as well. So it's going to be very joyous and very colorful. And I'm displaying some of my huge kimonos, wedding kimonos, along with, I think, Josette Jordan has one as well. So in the theater, you will see some very colorful kimonos.
This sounds like, well, certainly something for all of the senses, just as is mm-hmm. advertised for the 7th annual Fort Wayne's Japanese Cherry Festival. Mm-hmm. How does it compare with or reflect the national and international ways of celebration of Cherry Blossom Festival?
I believe if when you go to these celebrations, I have never been to one in Washington, D.C., but the Japanese government gave to our government the beautiful cherry blossom trees that line, I believe, the reflecting pool.
The pool, yes.
And every year that they have a huge cherry blossom festival. And they we sort of looked at what they had, too, and the kinds of things that go on. And in Japan, they do have these as well.
About the only thing we lack is the number of cherry blossom trees in the immediate area.
So far.
Okay, let me tell you what happened last year, and I have to kind of do a little update on this, but we were given 500 seeds of cherry blossoms from Japan, and it was given to us by the princess, Japanese cherry blossom princess, and our city was selected to germinate these, and so the Parks and Recreation are doing this, and then they will be distributed throughout our state, I believe, and most, we hope, here in Fort Wayne. So that's exciting.
Yes, it is, and we'll be able to share the cherry blossoms and the cherry blossoms festivals then and continue as we go. What mm-hmm. That may or may not be one of your favorite cherry blossom festival stories to share, but mm-hmm. So I'll give you a second to pause, Dorothy. And
sure.
Cherry, what's your favorite, perhaps, anecdote of all cherry blossom festivals that you've attended here in Fort Wayne?
Putting me on the spot first.
That's right. I'm thinking.
I think it just has to be one of the events at the first cosplay. First of all, you have to know a little bit about the characters. Very famous anime series called Dragon Ball. And the lead character was, at first when you see him, had a monkey tail. Very much relating back to the old tales of the Monkey King from Chinese and Japanese mythology. And at one point, he's forced to lose the tail for a lot of different reasons. And these two kids, one who was about 12, the other one who's like about 8, was playing the character in old, you know, with the tail and the younger without. And the older one goes, and they have an argument about it. Finally, the older one reaches down, pulls the younger one's tail off. It had been withheld on with Velcro, and starts hanging it over the younger kid's head. Younger kid is jumping up and down, trying to grab the tail. Give me back my tail. It was so cute that you know, the judges at the time there says, okay, we got to give at least them an honorable mention in the contest. You know, it was just so, so cute.
That's a perfect Japanese Cherry Blossom Festival folktale to share, and mm-hmm. thank you for that. And before we go on to the next part of the show, Dorothy, I'm going to ask you, now that you've had a little more time, is there something, a special memory or reflection that you have from earlier Cherry Blossom Festivals here in Fort Wayne?
I would say that this is leading into what you're going to do for the second half, is to have Yoko come to our festival, and the story that you're going to hear later on about how she and Hikaru were given a composition that they were to play together, which was sort of planned that they would meet. And how they got together and made beautiful music together. And I sang at their wedding. And, I mean, you know, so all this came about within a year and 2 years. And now they're just a duo that is going to go throughout the world. And
when did it come about?
Music.
At the Fort Wayne's Cherry Blossom Festival. And we look forward to hearing more about that. And certainly we hope that the celebration is wonderful, and we'll continue to tell folks how they can find it and when
That's
they
right.
can find it. And thank you so much for joining us, Terry
thank
O'Brien,
you.
The Asian artist extraordinaire for this festival.
No, knowledgeable about it, I'll put it that way.
And we'll take that. And Dorothy Kataka.
We need to take a quick break for the news here on WBOI, but we'll be back in just a few moments for more of Art-Centric Midday Matters. Support for this program on WBOI is provided by the United Way of Allen County, announcing this year's Top Campaign Committee Award recipient, GMFWA Truck Assembly Plant, UAW Local 2209. That's what it means to live united, UnitedWayAllenCounty.org. It's 12:31, and you're listening to 89.1 FM WBOI.
Bill Hader makes his final appearance as a cast member of Saturday Night Live this weekend. On the next Fresh Air, we feature our interview with Hader. One of his characters is Stefan, the New York City correspondent who gives inappropriate recommendations for family entertainment.
If you're looking to get festive with your family, I've got the perfect place for you. New York's hottest club is Hey!
Join us.
Fresh Air weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Good afternoon, I'm Sean Beter with WBOY News. The new owner of Monaco RV plans to shut down a 520-worker Northern Indiana factory and shift its production work to another Hoosier plant. Allied Specialty Vehicles announced on Thursday it was buying Monaco and several of its brands from Navistar Incorporated. Allied executive Jim Meyer says the company owned by a New York-based private equity firm will work on turning around the RV company's financial troubles. Meyer said that the Wakarusa factory won't get a new production order and its work will wind down in August. Production will move to a factory in Decatur near Fort Wayne. Meyer says an undetermined number of jobs will be added in Decatur. Meyer says that Allied will try to sell the Wakarusa facilities. Advocates for those suffering from Alzheimer's and dementia say new legislation will help ensure law enforcement knows how to deal with that growing segment of the population. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports on a bill that requires training in Alzheimer's and dementia-patient interaction for all law enforcement officers.
Legislation unanimously approved by the General Assembly was developed largely in response to an incident in Peru, Indiana, in which police used a taser several times on an elderly Alzheimer's patient after he became aggressive. Alzheimer's Association Greater Indiana Chapter Director Michael Sullivan says those situations can often happen because police aren't taught to recognize and properly deal with Alzheimer's and dementia patients. Sullivan says the training is vital because the diseases can manifest in different ways.
Some people may become very agitated and aggressive. Others may become very passive. But most people think of it as just purely a memory type thing. There's all sorts of visual and auditory distortions.
Alzheimer's Association Senior Specialist Dustin Ziegler says communication is one of the most important aspects for officers dealing with Alzheimer's and dementia patients because he says those suffering from the diseases aren't experiencing the same world as everyone else.
It's not a logical world, and no matter what we try to do, they're not going to come into our world. So a police officer needs to understand that and keep a pleasant tone of voice.
Ziegler says patience is also key, stressing that officers need to speak slowly and constantly reassure the patient that the officer is there to help. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
And Indiana law enforcement agencies have begun a two-week effort to enforce seatbelt use on the state's highways. The Indiana Criminal Justice Institute says more than 250 law enforcement agencies in this state began conducting special patrols around the clock Friday to identify and ticket unrestrained motorists. The effort concludes on June 2nd. The Institute says that during a similar mobilization a year ago, law enforcement agencies issued more than 18,000 citations to drivers who were not wearing their safety belts. You're listening to Midday Matters here on WBOI.
Welcome back to Art-Centric Midday Matters here on WBOY. It's 12:36, and if you'd like to join today's conversation with any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you at 1-800-471-9264. You can always post on our Midday Matters Facebook page or email us, middaymatters@nipr.fm. I'm Sarah DeLeon, and in the studio with me is my co-host, Julia Meek.
Thank you, Sarah. And we are celebrating the ancient and modern and all wonderful art centricities of Cherry Blossom Festival season on today's Midday Matters. And as Sarah said, everyone's invited to participate. So if you have a question or your own festival memories to share, now would be the perfect time to do so. And you can call 800-471-9264, as she mentioned. In this segment, we are continuing to welcome Dorothy Kitaka, the festival organizer and cultural ambassador extraordinaire, may say so.
Okay.
I think I will not get a lot of argument there. We also have the distinguished musicians and local festival performers, Hikaru Tamaki and Yoko Reikano Kimura. So thank you all for joining us.
Thank you for having us here.
Now, Dorothy, we know that the Cherry Blossom Festival affords an opportunity to share all things artistic. Right. So why is music such an important part of this celebration?
Well, the music in this culture and almost in any culture in the world is so important. It really reveals the soul, the creative spirit. And when the Cherry Blossom Festival is a natural festival, one that is of nature and of beauty. And I think with songs in the Japanese repertoire, as Hikaru is so very good and Yoko at playing and also describing, is nature. And so this is a beautiful way to express how joyous we are with this festival.
As a listener and participant, we can certainly vouch for that fact. And having Hikaru and Yoko right in the studio with us, how does it make you feel to be able to share your music at a festival like this?
Well, it's great to great opportunity to play our own music from our own culture at a festival where it celebrates Japan and its culture. So I think we feel like we fit in very well, and we feel comfortable. And we have a great time every year.
If we back up just a minute in your musical profession, Hikaru, you came here in order to be a part of our own Fort Wayne Philharmonic. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so tell us a little bit about what you do in the Western musical world.
Sure. I play at the Fort Wayne Philharmonic. I'm the principal cellist there. And I play orchestral music mostly and some chamber music as well.
In the meantime, Yoko, you have play several different traditional Japanese musical instruments, and why don't you tell us what you play?
My instrument. I'm playing both koto and shamisen, a very traditional Japanese instrument.
And the koto is a stringed. Well, they both are stringed instruments, and the koto is very traditional. And it's a. Can you describe the koto for us?
Okay. Koto was originally from China around the 7th century, and it has very, very long history. And shamisen has three strings, and it looks like guitar or banjo.
That's a good description.
And shamisen has about 300 history. Both instruments are very classical, but there are many kinds of style, and very, very wonderful instruments.
And Dorothy, as you share the vocal music for this festival coming up on Sunday, what kind of music can folks anticipate hearing in the vocal range?
We have selected some very, let's say they have been composed. Sakura, of course, we'll sing because that's the namesake here. And we've made our own arrangements, as I say, as a duet. And then it tells about how you should come into the festival and come with me. Let's go see Cherry Blossoms. And then we have Hamabe no Uta, which is a song about going strolling along the beach. Again, natural, you know, how the nature involves emotion and how you're thinking about the past and with the waves coming in and out. Akatombo is one of my favorite because it's a children's song about a dragonfly. And this is how I got into Japanese music. I was born in this country and didn't really learn Japanese so much, and then until I got into learning about my culture. And this is one of the first songs. It's about a dragonfly. So my house is very buggy. I have lots of dragonflies.
In a good way.
In a very good way. And so, and then another song that we're doing is one that was the most famous Japanese song in the Western culture, which is Sukiyaki. And the audience is going to have to whistle with us on this one. But it's a song that was made famous, I don't know, it was back in the 70s or something.
Probably in the 60s.
60s, okay. Yeah. And sukiyaki is the name of a food, you know, and has nothing to do with the song, which is a very sad song of someone losing their love. But for them to market it, people in the Western world knew that the word sukiyaki. So it took off like a storm. So we're bringing it
back. I do remember when. And yes, what a wonderful group participation thing for folks to enjoy.
Right.
Frame of reference, we are discussing the 7th annual Japanese Cherry Blossom Festival that's happening right here in Fort Wayne, Indiana this Sunday. And right now we have Dorothy Kataka as well as Hikaru and Yoko joining us in the studio to discuss all things that are going to be shared at this lovely festival.
Right.
Now in our first, if folks would like to call in a question or a comment, you can do that at 1-800-471-9264 or email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm or post right on our Midday Matters Facebook page. In the meantime, in the first segment, Dorothy shared one of her very favorite moments of Cherry Blossom Festival,
right,
that involved Yoko and Hikaru. And now that we have them in the studio with us, let's revisit that happy event and tell us a little bit about finding love and other organic delights in the Cherry Blossom Festival.
Well, Mr. Tamura is a friend of the family of Yoko, and so they invited Yoko to come and be our guest artist. And in the background, Mr. Tamura had a piece that was really orchestrated for another instrument. It was a shakuhachi and koto, but he had it arranged for cello and koto. And so they had to practice together to play. And somehow, diabolically, he had them for dinner, and, you know, things happen. But you can tell more about it. But the ending was so happy, and it's still ongoing. So they got married. But Hikaru is like my son, you know. Is another. I have three sons, but he's the fourth one. And Yoko now is my daughter, too. So it has become a family affair. It's really wonderful.
So once you met and fell in liking each other at the first Cherry Blossom Festival, then yes, you continued the romance?
I had a chance to go back to Japan. Yoko was living in Japan at the time. And right after the festival, I had a chance to go back home. So, I kept in touch with her, and I met her again in Tokyo. And
Didn't you do a lot of Skyping and stuff like that?
Well, that was, yeah, after that, yeah, thanks to Skype, we could talk to, you know, each other, like, every day, seeing each other's faces. It's unbelievable. And, you know, if it wasn't for Skype, I don't think we've kept up this relationship, but,
I think lots of people are doing that now, too.
I do, too. And I will ask, when the proposal came, was it by Skype or was it in person?
Well, yeah, in person.
And the rest is, well, as Dorothy says, it was a happy ending in mm-hmm. a lovely marriage and ceremony, which is actually a beautiful beginning and certainly happens at Cherry Blossom time year-round and for you now. And in particular, you had some special music that was written for you.
Yes.
Would you tell us about that?
Sure. Since there is really no repertoire written for koto and cello, or shamisen and cello, we wanted to have something original. And we asked our friend Marty Regan, who's a composer, to write an original piece for us. And we had this theme of having a composition which centers around nature in Japan. And there's a particular word called kacho fugetsu, which describes four elements in nature. And the first element is flower. And flower usually means cherry blossom in Japanese culture. So he composed this piece called Flower Dance, which is really about, you know, cherry blossom and how it's so beautiful and the, you know, flower petals just rising in the air and, you know, the smell. And it's a very celebratory piece. So so he composed this. This was the first piece he ever composed for us, and the piece that we commissioned. So
We were very proud to have you grace our own Meet the Music stage, and
yes.
you performed that piece for
yes.
us, which, among other wonderful things, and I, without giving any spoilers, I'll say that you have been invited back, and so we hope to have you on the stage again soon. But in the meantime, the portion, we have a portion to share with our listeners now of it's the final movement, so to speak, of the flower dances that were written especially for you and shared at your own wedding, and we'd like to hear that right now.
Thank you.
We just enjoyed an excerpt from Flower Dances, which was an original composition by Mickey Regan.
Marty Regan,
written expressly for Hikaru and Yoko Tamaki as a gift of love and a wedding gift, and certainly all things floral and passionate, as it turned out to be. And thank you so much for performing so well. That was, of course, Hikaru and Yoko's performance of the piece, and we will be able to hear music like this, if not this exact piece, at the festival this Sunday, right?
Yes. The series we just talked about the four elements and nature, Marty has composed, three pieces since then, and we're at the last piece of the four cycle. So we're sort of closing off the, koto and cello suite, so to speak, with Silence of the Moon. That's the new piece written by Marty as well. So we're very proud to present that this year at the Cherry Blossom Festival.
Well, it sounds delightful. I look forward to hearing it, of course. And Yoko, when you perform, as well as playing such beautiful music, you also dress for the occasion. And tell us why that is and what folks can see you wearing at the festival.
I will put on kimono. And kimono is a very traditional costume. And sometimes it is very difficult to put on kimono because wearing kimono needs special technique. So I usually use a few strings and wide bands, and how can I say sentaku basumi?
Like clips.
Clips. So it takes about 20 minutes
to get ready.
Yes.
Once you have it on, is it difficult to play your instruments wearing a kimono, or is that feel pretty natural?
I feel very natural, and when I put on kimono, I feel very, very relaxed. Sometimes the kimono band, we call obi, is very wide, and some people feel uncomfortable, but I can feel the bottom of the stomach and very feel steady.
I see.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that it works for you because it's a beautiful presentation, of course, when you're dressed for the occasion,
gorgeous.
And then and playing such music. And Dorothy, as we speak of all things aesthetic as well as art-centric at the Cherry Blossom Festival coming up this Sunday at the Allen County Public Library. I know folks are going to be hungry and thirsty with all of this activity they'll
Absolutely.
Be sharing, so continue to tell us what they might be enjoying in the food and drink department.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to just tell you that we will have a traditional tea ceremony, which is going to be given by Mrs. Shea Otani at 1 o'clock and at 2:30. And this is something you should not miss because it's not done that often. And it is, I mean, people that are doing that present this study for years, they don't dare do it until they know how to do it exactly right. And so please partake of that. We also have Tokyo So on the West Coast Grill, Wu's Oriental Grocery, who are going to be there to give you Japanese delights, and they are delicious sushi and I don't know, yakitori, just all kinds of things. And so if you don't know about Japanese food yet, this is the time you can sample and do lots of delicious eating.
I think they even sell candies, Japanese candies.
And then the little pops, the little bottles. I don't know what you call them.
Ramune.
Okay, and then you do something with the top
soda,
of it.
Right.
Soda, and then it becomes, effervescent. It's all the kids just
magic soda. That yes, sounds magic good. Soda. So what's Hikaru, while we have the expert here, because your eyes lit up when I heard about the homemade about the candy. Tell us about Japanese candy. I mean, what's special? What makes it special or different than Western candy?
I don't know. It's basically the same, but they have they make it differently. Like I think Pocky is one of the most popular snack in Japan, and it's just like a cookie stick, but it's dipped in chocolate, and it's just really it almost looks like chopsticks
or pretzel too.
Or pretzel, yeah. But it's yeah.
And the other one, remember, it's that little. Is it bontan or bontan? It's that little.
Oh, bontan ame. Right.
Right, and you eat it, but then you eat the outside, which is made out of rice. Isn't
right.
It?
So yeah, it's wrapped in rice paper, and you think it's wrapped in this very sticky candy, and you can't get it off, but you actually eat the whole thing wrapping.
So you practical as well.
Amaze people and say, "Look at me! I can do this."
Well, folks, we just have a couple of minutes left, so to wrap things up, and certainly I think folks don't need more encouragement, but let's give it to them anyway and tell them when and where they can celebrate this wonderful Cherry Blossom Festival.
Oh, we're going to start out on the plaza of the Allen County Public Library right downtown. The Suzuki Strings are going to be there for the first time, and they're going to open with Star Spangled Banner and the Japanese a national anthem, and they're going to play a Japanese piece. And so they're preparing like crazy. And then, but it'll be from 12 to 5 o'clock, and we have the entire Allen County Public Library as our venue. So please partake inside and outside, and the children can play games and win prizes and take home goldfish, and, plus we can all delight in all the arts and the beautiful interior of the Allen County Public
They tell
Library.
Me it's transformed
into
a Japanese cherry festival. And I don't know if everybody can be as lucky in love as Hikaru and Yoko were, but I would have to say, well, happy anniversary in a way, because it is your anniversary
Thank
at
you.
This time. And you will be, you'll be performing, you'll be sharing music that celebrates all such feelings and sentiment at the Cherry Blossom Festival.
And who knows who you'll meet. You certainly can meet all of us, and we'll look forward to seeing you. It'll be fantastic.
Julia, we have just about a minute left. Do you want to give your art pick one more time for folks that
well,
missed at the beginning of the show?
Yes, if you just want to do all things festival, I am suggesting the Fiber Arts Festival, and that's today, happening right now, and through Saturday, and that's at Solomon Farm, and you really can get a firsthand experience on the making, producing, and enjoying all things wools, cottons, silks.
And my pick was the Jug Huffers playing tomorrow at the Fort Wayne Farmers Market Spring Fling from 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. That's at Parkview Field. And if you don't get a chance to hear them in the morning, you can always go to the Friendly Fox later that evening from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. where they'll be playing as well. This is Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Mad Rothschild Studios at 89.1 in HD Channel 1 and streaming online at nipr.fm. This is WBOI Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University and supported by listeners like you. Thank you. We're coming up on 1 o'clock, and Fresh Air is up next.